Hi, I'm Catherine Galligan, and I believe that love is the most important thing, not only in the world, but in the whole universe. I created the Love to You All podcast as a platform to offer the wisdom and inspiration necessary for us to create a world where love is the guiding force. Together, we can release the protective barriers that keep us from giving, receiving, and fully embodying love. Join me and my guests as we explore the many ways to be the love for our world longing for change, peace, and hope. I believe it's my soul's mission to inspire the courage you need to be the most loving frequency you came here to be in this lifetime. I'm so glad you're here because we have got a world to change. Hello and welcome. Welcome back to Love to You All. I'm Catherine Galligan and I'm the host of this podcast. And today what I want to share with you is straight from my heart. And this is about my son, Michael. I have two sons and this is about my older son and how his deep and enormous love for me has shaped my personal destiny. And so before I even get into all of that, I want to start by saying, I really appreciate whoever listens to this podcast, especially this episode. And so for me, this is episode number 11. Clearly, I'm in the beginning stages of this podcast. And, you know, I don't know yet who my audience is, but I do know that it is a privilege to earn your time and to earn your trust. And that's not something that I want to jeopardize. You know, like I feel a teeny tiny bit of pressure to maintain your interest, but I also realize that it's such an ego pursuit for me to want to do that. And it won't be sustainable for me to try to do that. And that's so not the reason why I created this podcast. You know, that's not the point. The point of this is to really help everyone understand, or as many people that listen to this, that love is the most important thing. That is the whole goal of this. And so, you know, what inspired me to create this podcast is I know that I personally can hold that frequency of love for people. So no matter who I interview and no matter what I say, so long as I'm in that vibration and I'm coming from that place, then I've succeeded and I've accomplished exactly what I wanted to accomplish. And so, you know, I guess what I want to say is, like, anybody who is listening to this, what you're receiving is a really beautiful frequency. And I thank you for valuing that. I thank you for seeing that it's important to allow time for that. And I really hope you get something out of this episode, because what happened made such a profound impact on me, like, wait to create this for you and share this with you. And I think it's maybe one of the most important things that I've done so far. So here's how it goes. You know, I do know that I'm human, you know, and I know that I have an ego and I get stuck in my ego and it's all too clear. And even when it is a blind spot, someone, you know, kindly brings it to my attention, you know, but having said that, I have had the honor and the fortitude and the good fortune to see beyond my own ego. And when I see beyond my own ego, what I see of myself and what I'm capable of is a tremendous amount of love. I mean, I understand that's what makes, that's my composition. It's my default setting. It's what I'm made of. I believe it's the only thing that's really important, actually. But when I'm not limited by my ego or looking through the lens of my ego and being driven by my ego, I'm coming from such a pure place. The amount of love that I have for all of you, like everyone I've met and everyone that I will meet, you'd be shocked. You would be stunned. It would be hard for you to believe how much love I have for you. It's a gift. It is a gift that I received somehow, but the bigger gift is that I received the awareness that I have that. And so, you know, that's something that I don't want to ruin. It's so beautiful and it feels so right to me that, like, I'm motivated to continue to understand all my ego constructs and all my ego identities so I can continue to heal them, to shed them, to see through them, you know, understand their role in my life, but also like not get trapped and mired in them so that I can be this frequency, because I believe a lot of you need this. I know that I've needed it. I think the world needs that. And I think it's why I'm here on this earth. I mean, that this is my mission. And so, you know, in this lifetime, this particular lifetime, this is what I'm supposed to do. And so here's my podcast. So here we go. So here's what I want to share. I recently had this realization. And when I say recent, I mean like in the last 10 days. And this is about my son, Michael. So I don't normally talk about my kids. Like if you were to look at my Facebook page or my Instagram page, you're not going to see a ton of pictures of my kids. And, you know, part of that is just out of respect for their privacy. Also their dad, you know, that's not really a way that he operates in this world. And so I've wanted to really honor that for all of those people. But this particular story is, it's important. And I know that I have my son's blessing in sharing this. And also what I want to say right up front is this is on the woo-woo side. Okay, so what I'm about to say is very much on the woo-woo side. It might be hard for some people to accept this, but I do ask that you just hear me out and open your heart a little bit. And if you know me at all, you know that I don't like the term woo-woo. It makes me angry because I know that what people will call that, I know that it's actually real. And I don't need to wait for science to catch up, even though it seems to be like in a really accelerated way. I don't need anything proven to me. I know that this is real. In fact, one day I even went on a rant about like, can we please stop calling it woo-woo? And I like made this Facebook video. And I even put it on YouTube. So if you look hard enough, you can find it. And I even created a t-shirt that I could wear that said, stop calling it woo-woo, which by the way, if you wanted to order it, you could. But all of that aside, like you know, no one needs to convince me. And this is kind of sound like it's out there, but I know it not only in my bones, but just in my whole being. And, you know, the reason why I want to share this and like what inspired me to share this is I recently had a conversation with a woman. Her name is Jane Sibbett, and she's famous for a variety of reasons. Like she actually is a Hollywood actress, and she was on a Star TV show. Her name is Jane, but she also is a really beautiful spiritual healer and spiritual teacher. And how I met her is she called herself Jane's Dancing Hands. And I actually recorded a podcast episode with her that will be released, you know, in sometime in the near future. But we recorded this conversation together. And oh, and also you should know, you know, I've known her for a good 7 going on 8 years now. And she's been a really relevant person in my life and my heart opening. And she's just, I just know her to be this like pure, beautiful soul. And she and I have very aligned missions on this planet. And so, you know, what she does and what she says really resonates with me. And also, when she says something that I know came from source, like I know it to instantly be true. And so this is what happened. We recorded our podcast session, you know, press stop, but we're still kind of like connected on like the computer screen. And so we're just having like casual conversation, you know, two friends catching up. And she's like, hey, how are your kids doing? And, you know, I'm like, oh, they're fine. Like we don't normally ask each other about each other's kids, you know, it's just like not our relationship. And like, we live in different cities and, you know, whatever, but it was, you know, it was really kind of her to ask. And, but she like wouldn't let it go. Like I thought by me just saying, oh, they're fine, like we would move on. And she's like, but tell me about your older son. And, you know, what's his name again? And she started asking me questions about how he was doing, and I was filling her in, and she started to cry. And that's where I was like, okay, and now I'm getting this intuitive hit of like, whatever's happening right now and whatever she's about to say is really important, because she doesn't know my son. She's never met him, but she's definitely intuitive and like tapped in. Okay. And so she's asking me these questions about my son, and she starts to cry, and I'm like, why are you crying? And like it actually makes me emotional to talk about it because she was like, "You can't believe how much he loves you." And I'm like, "No." And I know how much he loves me. And she's like, "Oh, no. There's something so much bigger, so much deeper. Like this child is, he is special. And you guys have a really special relationship and like this commingled mission. And he loves you so much. He's like, she's like, you've needed him as much as he's needed you. And like what is about to transpire is so beautiful. And what has already transpired is quite beautiful." And so she was just like beside herself and like, she's never met him, And I'm like, God, what is Jane's deal? And so she goes on to tell me about this podcast she had recently listened to, and it's called The Telepathy Tapes. Okay. And so, quick side note, my business coach would be like, "Do not mention someone else's podcast on your podcast." But I'm totally doing this because it's so good and you need to listen to this. So she was like, "Have you heard of the telepathy tapes?" And like, oddly enough, just within the last like 48-hour period, I'd heard of it twice. And I always know that whenever I hear of something three times, like I need to pay attention. And so, and my synchronicities like that, they're getting so much closer in time. It's not like in the course of a month, I'll hear something three times. It's like now in the course of a day or a few days, I'll hear something and it's like, I need to listen because this is relevant. And so I had not, and I took it upon myself to listen to these episodes. So the telepathy tapes, it's so well done. I mean, it's done by a woman who makes documentaries, and so it's an extremely well curated set of episodes. And as far as I understand, there's only been 10 released so far, like season one, and you need to listen to them in order. And that's what I did, and I dare say that gave me the courage to have this podcast to talk about this topic with you. And when I did listen to them, I actually was on an airplane to Paris. And so here I am in Paris and I'm recording this episode so that my message gets out as quick as possible. As far as woo-woo goes, some of the things that I believe in, and this is just a short list, is I do believe in past lives. I believe in reincarnation. I do not believe in linear time. I think there's no such thing as linear time. I do believe in other dimensions. I believe that, we're not separate. I believe that there are angels and spirit guides around us. I believe in aliens. I believe in mediums who can channel these spirit guides and aliens and our loved ones. I believe in the Akashic record keepers and the ability to read in the Akashic records. I believe that there are Akashic records. I believe in telepathy. I believe in energy healing. I believe in soul contracts. And I very much believe in love light language. Love it, love it. And as you know only too well, I believe that only love is real. Okay, so please keep all of this in mind, okay? As far as the telepathy tapes goes, like they touch on these topics, and I know that it's going to go viral. Like it's just a matter of time before it goes viral. And the beautiful thing about the timing of all of this is I have felt like we are at like an inflection point in humanity. Like at this point in history, at this point in time, we are like at a tipping point, or we're at like, it almost feels like a fork in the road, and we have a choice. We can either take the side of the road that keeps us stuck where we are, or we can take the side of the road that takes us toward ascension. Okay. And if we stay where we are, it's almost like we're going backwards. Okay. And we're going to stay in this world and in this reality where there are such things as hate and destruction and lack of acceptance of others, war, scarcity mindset, competition, greed, judgment. I mean, basically all these limiting ways of operating, right? That those are limitations to our ability to expand. It's like we're on this constant quest of survival. And maybe it's just an ego identity survival, or maybe it is actual survival, but like that is the 3D way of operating that I feel like we actually have a choice to not be in that reality. We can create a different reality, which means we would need to take the other side of the fork in the road. And when we do that, it takes us out of this survival and this, you know, belief that we're separate from each other. And it puts us in a place where we actually get to create a reality together, create a beautiful reality where everybody's beliefs and everybody's ways of expression are accepted, not just accepted, but celebrated and used and cherished. And like it, like for us to like continue to expand as a consciousness. And so, you know, that beautiful fork in the road that we could take, the side of the road, it's like, it's all about love and harmony and compassion and support for one another. And that's what would prevail. Okay. And I think that if we do that, if we can consciously, you know, as a humanity in a collective way, like first it has to be individual, right? But then if we do this on a collective way, then our consciousness and the way that we exist is going to span beyond the 3D. Okay. And we're all going to be in this like frequency of love, like finally. Okay. And I actually think this is happening now. And I think the telepathy tapes are going to play a really big role in this. And we truly are at an inflection point, like right now. Okay. And what all of us being on the planet, you know, now, and by the way, speaking of the planet, you know, not to tangent too much, but the Mother Earth, you know, the planet needs us more than ever to remember her, to reconnect with her, to fall in love with her again, to take better care of her. And, you know, when we do that, it's like, it'll be so much easier for us to like love each other, love the earth we live on, like really shift our priorities. And this is so, so important. And this is one of the messages of the telepathy tapes. Okay. And you'll get to see for yourself. I don't want to ruin it for you. I really want you to listen to it. And again, listen to it in order. But I guess my point in saying all of that is like, we truly are at this inflection point in humanity where we have a beautiful opportunity if we choose it to change. And it would be a very beautiful thing to do, a beautiful way to live. Okay. So having said all that, it's like, well, how did humanity get to this point? You know, why have we been on this kind of yucky, you know, side of the road for so long? And I just believe it's because we actually think we're separate. You know, like we think that we're separate from one another, that our own consciousness is kind of like contained in the body that in which we inhabit. And, you know, it's not like, I don't want to downplay the body. The body's a beautiful thing. It's a luxury that we get to be in the body. Like it's fun to be in a body. Like, you know, we get to experience pleasure and eating chocolate and a warm blanket and being, you know, basking in the sun and swimming and whatever we do, that's like lucky to be in a body, but we're not contained to them. We're not contained to our bodies. Our consciousness expands beyond our body. But it's like, it's almost like we get amnesia when we are born and we forget and we kind of think we're these self-contained units, and more so not. Our consciousness expands beyond our body, and our consciousness, it all comes from the same source, and it merges with other people's consciousness. Like it is merged with other people's consciousness. Okay. So I think it's because we actually think that we're separate is why we would stay on one side of, you know, we would take the wrong road at the fork in the road. Okay. But, you know, my understanding and my belief that we're not separate is relevant to my son, Michael. So this brings me back to, you know, my beautiful son, Michael, and how I realized that he and I are so connected. And it's more than just a mother-son bond. Okay. It's more than just being family. This is so much more about how our souls are connected. And he and I, we must have on the other side made some sort of like soul contract or soul agreement to play the roles that we're playing in each other's lives. You know, I think that we're like two souls on the other side where he's like, okay. So in this next life, you be the mom and I'm going to be the kid. and a couple of things are going to happen to me as a kid, and I'm going to need you to help me get through those things. But you're going to see how those things, at some point, you're going to see how those things were really important for you to make certain decisions to get to where you are right now. Okay. And so this is what I think happened. You know, I think, like, on a soul level, where our egos are totally gone and they don't exist and all we are love, like, we're so aware, we have so much love for each other. It's like, okay, well, let's go on earth and get in a couple of bodies, and there's going to be some pain and suffering involved, but it's okay. It's like, I'm willing to make that sacrifice for you so that your soul can evolve, and then you can help all the soul, like, all of humanity involved evolve. Okay. That's really what I think my son Michael has done. And so let me tell you why, or like how I kind of came to this realization. And again, like I say, this is just in the last like 10 days. It's not even been a full 2 weeks yet that I like realized this, and all of it all just unfolded for me like so quickly and became so obvious that I can't believe I didn't realize it before, but that's okay. Like I realize it now. And so, you know, here we are. First of all, my son, Michael, he was considered autistic. So when he was a toddler, he was diagnosed with autism. Okay. And we were told that we would be taking care of him his whole life, that he'd be like kind of low functioning and not have a whole lot of language and just really need a lot of support to like get through his everyday life. It's not that I refused to believe that diagnosis, but I was like, this can't be his life. You know, like I do refuse to accept this. And, you know, at the same time, my sister-in-law at the time, she gave me this book called The Brain That Changes Itself. Okay. And so it, you know, it's basically about like plasticity and how we actually can like create new like net connections and stuff like that, new pathways in our brain and blah, blah, blah. And so like, I really took that to heart, and I'm like, you know, my son doesn't have to live this way. And so I kind of made it my mission to like, to get him through that and to like reverse this diagnosis, if you will. And so just so you have some context, now the son is 20 and he's going to college, you know, he got accepted into a university. And he lives by himself. In fact, he loves it so much that he didn't come home over the summer. He got a job on campus, and he's completely independent and thriving and pursuing a degree in civil engineering. And I'm so proud of him. But like, you know, way back when he was under the age of 5, like the things look really, really different for us. And like, and I mean, I had definitely had days that were hard and, you know, like, okay, like, are we going to make it here? And because it was like we were in survival in our own way. But I think that my son made that, he was like, okay, I'm gonna go ahead and take on that condition, if you will, so that you become like, you learn everything that there is to know about autism. And like, you know, of course I don't know everything there is to know about it, but there was a period of time where any book I read, it had to do with that. And I was deeply plugged into my local autism community. I created a summer camp for kids with autism. Like I was all about it because I was just like, I needed support. We needed support. Like it was a thing. And I really became well-versed in this, and like my compassion for families that have children on the spectrum, and also just my love for them, my love for these kids. And I think like I created this summer camp especially for my son, like specifically for my son, because he needed it. He needed it to kind of bridge school year to school year so he wouldn't regress backwards. But the real beautiful thing that I got out of running that summer camp is I got to be exposed to all these different kids. And so, you know, from 9 a.m. until 3 p.m, like all summer long, I'm with these kids and I see how special they are because, you know, I wasn't trained in it. I'm not a speech pathologist. I'm not an occupational therapist. You know, I wasn't an ABA therapist. Like I just had this longing in my heart to like provide something for families like mine who like really needed this level of support, and also for the kids like who needed an outlet too. And the really cool thing is I got to like see what other kids were like too, you know? And it was such a blessing. It was such a blessing. And it's like, I could, even then I could see like, God, these kids are so special. Like there's something so much more to them. And so again, please listen to the telepathy tapes because it's pretty specifically about the autistic community and what the totally nonverbal kids are like and why they're here on this planet and the huge gift that they're giving us. So anyway, back to my son, Michael. I think he chose that on a soul level, like we made this contract with each other and he made that sacrifice for me because what happened, so fast forward to like, you know, last week when three people are like, hey, Catherine, you need to listen to the telepathy tapes. You're going to love it. It's about kids with autism. Catherine, listen to the telepathy tapes. Catherine, telepathy tapes, autism. Like, I think that Michael did that for me so that he knew in the future, you know, on a soul level, that I would listen to this thing and then have the courage to record this episode for you because I promise I am going to get to my big message. And it really was laid out like that. Like it all makes sense. It's almost like I can look back and look in the stars and like see the constellation. They were all pointing towards this, like for me to do this. And then for me to like really step into what I believe is my mission. And so here's the second sacrifice that my son made for me. Like, this is how much my son loves me. I can't, it's like, I can barely say it without crying. It's just, it's crazy. And he had a brain tumor. My son, Michael, had a brain tumor when he was 4. So we found out when he was 4. And, you know, we don't know when it developed and that part's irrelevant. But when he was 4 years old, it came into our awareness that this poor little child had a brain tumor. And it had to be resected. Like it had to be removed from his body because even if it was benign, which you can't know until you do a surgery, which is a major surgery, it has to be removed because a tumor in the head like takes up place. And they could tell by the mapping that they had done that it was pretty sizable. And as it turns out, they say it was the size of a banana. And like, oh my God, this was in my poor little son's head, which this amazing surgeon removed. But this is why this is relevant. I was married to Michael's father at the time. And he and I had 2 children together. We still have these 2 sons. And at the time that Michael received the diagnosis that he had this tumor, and in between like the time the receiving the diagnosis and the actual surgery occurred, we didn't know if he had a malignant tumor in his head and if he was going to die. Like we just didn't know. We didn't know if he had like cancer and like at what, if he did, what stage it was. Like we just didn't know. And we had this 6-week period where we had to wait until we could get on the surgery schedule at this doctor and like, you know, have our child treated. And needless to say, it was a really scary time. And I didn't want my son to know, you know, we didn't want our sons to know that we had this kind of foreboding event coming down the pike. And so we just let Michael kind of lead his life as he was, you know, being a 4-year-old kid. And then meanwhile, like I'm really trying to hold it together emotionally so that I don't fall apart. And so it's all that I can do to just like hold it together day by day for 6 weeks, which felt like a really long 6 weeks, you know? And so what I would do, like when it really got to me, like how scared I was, like I've never been so scared. I would get under the covers. This is true. I'd be in my bedroom and I'd get in my bed and I would get under the covers so no one would see me, you know, or I think no one would see me. And I would hide and I would cry. And my husband at the time, he caught me, like he caught me in the act. And he, you know, he like came into the bedroom and he saw me and he's like, what are you doing? And I was like, leave me alone. I'm having a moment. And he's like, stop crying. You need to get it together. Like pull it together. And listen, I don't want to, that's the only negative thing I want to say about that man because he is a great man. But in that moment, I knew that I couldn't be married to him. Like I knew that like, okay, he's not the person that I need by my side when I'm in a crisis. He's not the person I need by my side when I'm hurting. He's not the person that's going to provide the support that I need. Like I just knew, okay, like in that moment. And then it was a pretty fleeting thought because then it's just like, you know, we had kids to take care of. We had a son who really needed us. And I couldn't worry about whether, you know, the fate of my relationship with their dad. Like it came in my mind and it left pretty quickly. And again, I just want to reiterate, this is a beautiful person. He is a great man. Love him. Wonderful father. And you can't get me to say anything else negative about him because I won't, because there's not, you know, but that it was just a difference. It's just a difference that we had that I realized was probably going to be irreconcilable. And it was. Okay. And I really believe that my sweet son, Michael, did that for me so that I would have permission to, when I was ready and when the time was right, to leave him and to initiate the divorce process, which is eventually what happened. And it was a lot of years later. I mean, this was like, gosh, let me think about that. At least a good 5 or 6 years later that we actually finally went through with that. And so anyway, I otherwise would not have had the courage to end my marriage. You know, I wasn't, you know, really raised to quit. You know, I wasn't going to be a quitter. I was Catholic. You know, I believed in the sacrament of marriage and I loved him. You know, I still love him. I love him so much, you know, and I miss him sometimes, but he also wasn't the best person for me. And that I do know that to be true. Okay. And as unfortunate as that is, and as hard as that decision was to make, it was the right decision because Michael was going to go on to give me another gift. So I did eventually get remarried. Okay. And I married like love of my life, the most supportive person who totally believes in what I do. He believes in me. Believes in what I do. And I feel like I just have his never ending support. And I've even like mentioned this before on another podcast episode. Like I, by God's grace, I've been given like the most perfect person for me that I would need to like do what I'm doing. And I really believe in what I'm doing. Okay. And it was Michael who led me to him. It was Michael again. And so, you know, going back to Michael having autism, you know, one of the qualities or like one of the things that like kids on the spectrum will do is like they might have tantrums, like big, you know, full stereo, you know, all color rage, like tantrums. And a lot of it is to do with like their poor little bodies and like them being like not having the sensory integration capabilities that, you know, the neurotypical people have. And My son, and it wound up kind of isolating us a little bit because he'd have these like things would just set him off and trigger him, and he'd have these like enormous tantrums. And like the older he got and the bigger he got, it was like a thing, you know. And so one day I was like walking in the streets of my neighborhood with my son, you know, and letting him kind of run around and stuff. And a neighbor saw him like go into one of his fits. And she came over to me and she was like, you know, is your son special? And I was like, yeah, you know, I guess so. He's considered autistic. And she's like, well, you know, there's this man in the neighborhood. His name is Master Jason, and he has a martial arts school, and he helps kids like yours. And, you know, at the time I was just like, okay, yeah, thanks. You know, thanks lady, you know, moving on. And I, you know, I filed it away, but I didn't really think about it too much. And then, you know, fast forward and I see the same woman again and she's like, hey, did you ever look into going to see Master Jason? And I'm like, no, you know, thanks, but no thanks. And, you know, we went on our merry way. And then like, this was like when Michael was in kindergarten and after, you know, after a hard day in kindergarten, he would want to play on the playground and I would let him, I'd let him kind of, you know, blow off some steam. And while he was playing on the playground, I would sit on the picnic blanket with all these other moms who were like letting their kids play. And one of them was dating Master Jason. And so she would talk about the, you know, Master Jason. She'd talk about this guy and he, you know, sounded great, whatever. But like his name kept coming into my orbit. Okay. Is my point. And like Michael really seemed to be, he's like the one that led me to him. And so, you know, as far as Michael's progress, you know, to becoming more independent and becoming able to manage himself in like social situations and like group settings and stuff like this, he didn't need the same level of occupational therapy that he had been receiving, you know, since he was a toddler. So, you know, just like most moms with kids on the spectrum do, like I got that kid speech therapy, occupational therapy. He did enzyme therapy. He was in sensory gymnastics. I mean, I changed his diet. Like we did everything that they recommend you do. And we did it like full on, you know. And at some point, his occupational therapist was like, you know, I don't think that we're going to make much more progress at this point. If we do, it's going to be marginal. And so what I really recommend you do is, why don't you enroll your son in martial arts? And so immediately I'm like, I'm going to meet this guy, Master Jason. and so I did. So I went to his martial arts school and enrolled my son in Taekwondo, you know, kind of not knowing that we were going to go on to date and then eventually get married. And I want to say why this is so important, or like why this is so impactful for me. I really believe that my son Michael led me to this man. I really do. It was like this huge gift that he gave me. But meanwhile, Jason has been such a gift to not only me, but our family. And here's why. My son Michael, kind of, you know, typical to like kids on the spectrum, and especially like kids, you know, have Asperger's syndrome. I don't know if people use this diagnosis anymore, but he does not like to be touched. My son Michael does not like to be touched. And that was like one of our signs, you know. And in fact, like even now, his dad, like they do a fist pump when they say goodbye, you know, or they say hello. And so we don't hug Michael. He does not like that. Like he'll shake hands with you. But he does not like to be touched. Like he's not going to sign up to get a massage, you know, like he does not like that. If I try to hug him, he like doesn't run away now, but he clenches up and he doesn't like it. And he's just indulging me basically. But Jason, they do Taekwondo. Like and like all the wrestling that goes on with Taekwondo, you know, like the combat type stuff, that is the one thing Michael will allow. And having Jason in Michael's life has been such a blessing because Michael has had an outlet for like human touch. And it's, you know, it's all appropriate. It's like all in the form of, you know, Taekwondo and like play wrestle and stuff like this. But otherwise, I don't know that my son would have had that. Like he just didn't have that human connection that so many of us know that we need, you know and crave it. And he got it in that form. And to me, that's just like such a blessing. So Michael received a gift from that, but like I also did too, because sure, this Master Jason, you know, I don't call him Master Jason. People always ask me if I do, and I do not. Initially I did, yes, but like now I don't. He's just Jason and he's my husband. And you know, we live together. We've been married for quite a few years now. And he's, you know, he's special. He's super strong. He's like the perfect balanced masculine. You know, he's strong. He protects me. He takes care of me. He supports me. He's lovely in all those ways, but he's also in touch with his emotions. And he'd probably be mortified if he knew I was saying this, but he will allow himself to cry if he needs to. And I love that about him. Like he's so courageous. Like he's actually so strong in how he allows himself to be vulnerable when the time calls for it, you know. And he's it's not like he's walking around like some open wound, but he's really, I really admire that in him, and that he's so like, I don't know, rooted in his manhood, if you will, or like secure in that he's okay with like whatever, being in touch with his feminine side, which for him shows up as he's extremely intuitive and he has a super high EQ. It's like one of my most favorite things about him. And so I'm glad that I got to raise my boys, you know, with that example in the household, because it's given them safety to be that kind of a man. Like he has showed them how to be gentlemen and he has shown them how to be gentle men. And it's not that their father couldn't have done that, but he wasn't wired that way. And he certainly wasn't raised that way, but like, that's not how he was taught to be. And so, man, we're so lucky. Like, so lucky. And again, I know it's Michael that orchestrated all of this. Like on some soul level, Michael created all of this. Like, this is not in his conscious mind. If you were to ask him, like, hey, Michael, did you do all that for your mom? Like, no, he's not gonna know that or understand that. But like, I'm talking about his higher self has coordinated all of this for me, for him, for us, and for you. Okay. The last thing that I want to say about Michael is, and like me understanding that his consciousness is so merged with my consciousness. And this is like it's not a confession, but it's like this is full disclosure. A couple years ago, I decided to do ayahuasca. And so I like flew out to Boulder, I was with my best friend from college, and we went to this house where there were like, I think there were like 15 or 20 other people, and we like had this whole ayahuasca plant medicine experience, which is like, that's probably its own episode. But why this isn't what this has to do with Michael is, and like I realize, you're doing like when you do ayahuasca, you're conscious. You're not like out of your mind, like you're aware of what's happening. And, at some point I wanted to go sit outside underneath a tree. And this is like the middle of the night. So this is in Boulder, Colorado. It was cold outside. And I asked permission from one of like the aides, like, can I go sit outside? And she's like, yeah, sure. And she would like check on me every 15 minutes. And I just sat with my back leaning against the tree and looking up at the stars. And like, granted, I understand, I was on some drugs, but I also like really realized on a deep level that first of all, I'm not separate from the tree. I'm not separate from the earth. And I'm also not separate from the stars. Like I realize that like what makes up the stars and what makes up the earth makes up all of us. Like we're truly all connected. We are not separate from nature. We are nature. We're not separate from like the cosmos. We are it. Like we are it. Okay. And like the sooner we understand that we're not separate from it, the better off we'll be. We can take that other side of the fork in the road, okay? But like in this, I did not tell Michael where I was going. I wasn't like, hey kids, I'm about to go off to Colorado and do a bunch of drugs. Wish me well. I kind of kept that one under wraps. And so Michael did not know where I was, and he didn't know what I was up to. And I still don't think he knows that I did that. At some point I'll tell him. But my son Michael. And by the way, I have this whole other son who's this amazing human being who I love so much. He's polar opposite from his brother, and he and I have our own connection, which is, different. But for some reason, when I was sitting by that tree, all I could feel was Michael. It was like he was right there with me. It was almost like he was sitting right next to me, and he was as big as the stars, just like I was. Like, his consciousness was as big as my consciousness. Like our spirits were enormous and like way outside of our bodies and extended way beyond even the stars that we could see. And we're like stardust or something like this. And we were together. And I can't explain it any better than what I just said. I mean, and it was the strangest feeling and the most beautiful and comforting feeling too. And so, like, after I was the next day and sobered up and whatever, I reached out to my son and I'm just like, hey, how are you doing? He's like, oh, I was thinking about you. What's he's like, how's Colorado or whatever. And so like we're just so merged. And having listened to the telepathy tapes, I understand that that's not my imagination. That's not the drugs talking. That is not like that is real. Okay. And man, I think like my takeaway from like the telepathy tapes and like having these awarenesses of all these sacrifices that my son Michael made for me so that I would eventually be led to listening to that, and I would eventually be led to creating this podcast, and I would be so like pounding the table the way that I feel like I am about like love is it. That's all we need. It's the only thing that's real. It's the only thing that matters. Like, please, let's shift our priorities. Like, stop all this madness where we're hurting each other, killing each other, you know, not supporting each other, not accepting each other. What a, like, stop it. Stop it. Like, all that humanness, it's time to be done with that humanness. It's time for us to move on. We're ready to ascend. Let's all take the side of the fork in the road. That's the one that leads towards that co-creative state that we all have available to us and we all deserve. And it's all there. It's for our taking if we will just choose it. But we do have to do it as individuals. And as we all do it as individuals, we will do it as a collective. And it's going to feel like we just jumped a big old fat timeline. But I think what the awareness that I had, you know, like how it just kind of hit me like a ton of bricks is my son loves me so much that he did all of that for me. He made those little sacrifices like, yeah, I'll have this brain tumor, but you know, it's okay because you'll be there to take care of me and to get me through it. And you know, by the way, I should mention that was a total blip on the radar screen. Like, first of all, it was benign. It's removed from his head. It didn't come back, and it's like it's almost as if it never happened. And then, you know, I think that he was like, you know, I'm going to develop this condition called autism, but don't worry, you'll be there for me. You'll be there to get me through it. You'll kind of be there to help me move past it. And like, that's what happened. And he's like, you know, it's okay. It's okay for you to leave dad. I'm going to be okay. You know, my brother's going to be okay. Like, go ahead and make that decision, mom. Like, you don't need to worry about us. Like, make that decision because what's going to happen next is going to be even better. You know, it's going to be even more right for us. And I think that he, like, all this time has been showing me about this love thing. And I think he's been showing me, like, in his own way, like, how much we love each other. And here's my message. This is not limited to the autistic population. This is available to us. Like, if you listen to the telepathy tapes, what you're gonna hear, and I'm not ruining it, is that the message that these silent ones give us, that they want to give us. So the all the nonverbal people with autism. And it's interesting, like the kids that were featured on this podcast, they're all around Michael's age. And I remember at the time, like, asking, why are there so many kids with autism now? Like, I don't understand it. Like, this was not a thing when I was a kid. Like, this was like, there, it was rare. And now it's just like commonplace. And it's because they're here to show us how to love and that we don't need language to communicate that love. Like just like how Michael was with me, you know, in this ayahuasca experience, like with me with the stars, and like all I felt was Michael's love. Like, I didn't need to hear him say the words. You know, I don't need him to hug me, right? He's really kind of not capable. Like, it would hurt him to do that. I don't need that. Like, that love is available to us, and all the forms that we think it shows up, you know, is not the way that we need it. It's not the only way that we can receive it. And I bet if you were to examine your life and think about like the people in your life, like you've got your own little angel on earth. You know, you probably have a few. I know I have a few. And I feel like we're so lucky to be alive at this time. And I do. I think that the reason why there's so many autistic kids and why it's not just confined to like a country, right? Like, this is happening all over the world. Like, you're going to hear stories about like kids in India and kids in whatever, like all over, kids in Mexico. It's so, they're here to show us that we need to wake up. They're here to show us that like only love is real and to love more and that love is the most important thing. And to fall back in love with Mother Earth, because that's where we live, and like we need to take better care of her. Like, they're here to give us that message. And so my son would never have the wherewithal to like record this for you and tell this to you, but I know it's important to him, you know, and I know that he did all of those things for me so that I would have the voice and I would have the courage to tell you this too. And so I think we're lucky to be alive right now. I think this is the most beautiful time to be alive because we're going to actually get to witness this shift in consciousness, this shift of humanity, and this whole quest that I have for world peace. I actually do believe it's attainable in this lifetime. And I think this telepathy tapes has a huge role in it because I think it's going to go viral and people are going to hear it and they're going to start to like really see things in a different light and in a different way. And so I'm grateful. I'm so grateful. And I'm so glad that I like had the intuitive hit. I'm so glad that Jane cried. And I'm so glad that like I listened to that and that I had this awareness about my son, Michael. And I feel so affirmed in the message that I'm trying to give to you, which is, you know, love is the most important thing. And I know it might be hard for you to believe, but I need you to believe it, that I have so much love for you all. Like, it's the gift that God gave me to like pass this on. And it's available to all of you. It's available to all of you. So please share this episode if it spoke to you. And remember this, like this is available to you. You have this now. And I'm so grateful if you listened all the way to the end. I'm so, so, so grateful. And thank you for giving me the privilege and honor of having your time.
Thank you for tuning into this episode of Love to You All. If you're enjoying this show, please share it with someone who you know would benefit. That would mean the world to me. And another fantastic way to support the show is by leaving a positive review and a rating. It just takes a minute. It would make a huge difference. I hope this message reaches as many people as possible. I really appreciate your support. And so until next time, so much love to you all. I would like to take a moment and extend an invitation to you to join me for a retreat I am attending as a participant this September in the south of France. This is the Sacred France Retreat hosted by two very spiritual women, Jen Cunnings and Darlene Owen, who I happen to know. And I want to emphasize that this is more than just a retreat. This is an invitation to open your heart and reconnect with a way of love and be in the energy of the Cathar region of France, which is considered sacred land because it holds the mysteries of Mary Magdalene and the divine feminine. So if you are feeling the call from what I'm saying, I would encourage you to prepare to go deeper into your journey of self-discovery and transformation. The reason why I'm going is because the main intention of the women leading this retreat and why they chose this particular location is to guide those of us who attend toward greater alignment with love. And you know how I feel about that. So look for information about this retreat in the show notes, and I sincerely hope that you join me.